chapter 8, text number 1, translation. Arjuna inquired, O my Lord, O Supreme Person, what is Brahman? What is the Self? What are fruitive activities? What is this material manifestation? And what are the demigods? Please explain this to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada, His Divine Grace. In this chapter, Lord Krishna answers different questions from Arjuna, beginning with, what is Brahman? The Lord also explains karma, or fruitive activities, devotional service, and yoga principles, and devotional service in its pure form. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the Supreme Absolute Truth is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In addition, the living entity, the individual soul, is also called Brahman. Arjuna also inquires about Atma, which refers to body, soul, and mind. According to the Vedic dictionary, Atma refers to the mind, soul, body, and senses also. Arjuna has addressed the Supreme Lord as Purushottama, the Supreme Person, which means that he was putting these questions not simply to a friend, but to the Supreme Person, knowing him to be the supreme authority able to give definitive answers. This chapter is entitled Attaining the Supreme, and it starts off with a series of questions. It appears that of the two processes, Uttar and Prashna, both are equally important. Just as it is important to have a bona fide spiritual master, but it is also very important to be a bona fide spiritual disciple. It is important that the man be potent. It is also important that the woman be fertile. Then there can be conception, then there can be transfer of knowledge in relationship to guru-disciple, then there can be proper answers given to proper inquirers. In fact, it is well known amongst speakers that especially if they are trying to be a transparent via media, this is a characteristic of or a unique feature of revelation, knowledge received by the Avaroha Pantha, the descending process. The speaker is not the speaker. As Prabhupada said, I have not written these books. Do you ever wonder why Prabhupada's books are so wonderful? They're so wonderful because he didn't write them. Krishna wrote them. Prabhupada was the instrument. So a speaker should try to not get in the way, to filter or to color whatever Krishna wants to reveal. And it is a known phenomena or experience amongst speakers. A, the more that they pray to the Lord to make them his instrument, the more that they step back from trying to present their own views and rather reflect whatever Krishna wants to say, whether it sounds erudite or whether it's just a simple message from the heart, but they are open. They are more effective and appreciated. But on the other side, they feel much more inspired when they're sitting in a group of people who are sincerely interested. Now, having seen Srila Prabhupada in many situations in India, I have seen his reaction in different situations. Sometimes he would meet people who simply came to the temple to meet him out of a social necessity. And this, I'll make you privy to what went on behind the scene. Someone would come with, you know, about 10 or 15 family members, and they would proceed to introduce to Prabhupada, "This is my wife, this is my daughter, please bless her, this is my son, this is. Prabhupada would go through the motions. They really didn't have a lot of inquiry about who am I, what is Brahman, what is the purpose of life. Then afterwards, Prabhupada would, with a chagrin, say, they simply come and say, "This is my sex life, this is my sex life, this is my sex life." They're not really seriously interested in spiritual life. But when one does meet someone who is sincerely interested, just like a drug addict gets some cheap thrill from the drug rushing through his veins, similarly a preacher gets a wonderful thrill feeling Krishna rushing through him. He knows he's not doing anything, but he's giving someone, he's watching as someone is being operated on by Krishna. I can tell this to you because you're, most of you being Indians, and all of you being devotees, in general, we're not opposed to the idea of psychic happenings in the world. We know about yogis that take bath in Hardwar, and they go down in the water in Hardwar and come up in Benares. What do? They swim really fast. They hold their breath, you know. No, they have some power of going to another plane, which they can. Of all people, Sadaputta once explained it as well as it can be explained on the relative plane. He said it's like a map matrix. If you have a matrix, one-dimensional matrix, one point on that matrix is close to four other points. You understand what I'm saying? Like this, two lines this way, and two lines this way. You take a point here, and it's close to here, it's close to here, it's next to here, and it's next to here, right? Now, if you make it another dimension, then it's close to here, 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 and here. You add another dimension, like that, if you consider that Krishna is seen on multi dimensions, and mystic yogis are also existing on different. I mean, for Krishna, every point is close to every other point, is right next door to every other point in his matrix. And for yogis, they have the ability to move in that subtle psychic realm. I have seen things that are paranormal. I was taking computer engineering in college. I was a rationalist. Hard science. But you know, the things I've seen over the last few years, and especially in Brazil, I saw paranormal things that you just can't explain away. So in the same way, we understand this process of receiving knowledge through the chain of disciplic succession is paranormal. You follow the process, and we don't know exactly how Krishna enlightens the conditioned soul as Paramatma from within. He illumines them with knowledge, and the spiritual master, either the Siksha Guru, the Diksha Guru, the Vartma Pradarsha Guru, any number of gurus, they're part of the process. And it's a very wonderful process, but we have to put ourselves in that system to get benefit out of it. So, quality. Just asking questions is a beginning. It's, you know, it's a sign of intelligence. Prabhupada always talked about how he was very inquisitive. And you know, a little child, mommy, what's this? Daddy, what's that? You know, a kid's intelligent if he's asking a lot of questions. It's a sign of an intelligent child. And Prabhupada sometimes reveal how he was always asking his father different questions. And one time he was on the train with his father, and they pulled into a train station, and his father was sitting with some of his friends in their compartment, and Prabhupada looked out the window and he saw a wedding party. So he asked his father, "What is that?" And his father said, that's a wedding party. That's where a man and a woman are married and become mommy and daddy. So then Prabhupada turned to his father and said, "Daddy, are you married?" And then all his friends laughed. So Prabhupada was always asking very funny questions. There was the one about six guns, you know. His father gave him a gun. And then he asked his father, "Father, I have two hands. I need two guns." But it is important, very important, to ask the right questions. Because if you ask the wrong questions, you're not going to get the right answers. You have to ask the right questions from the right person at the right time in the right mood. Pari prashnena sevaya. Then the self-realized souls, gyaninas tattva-darshina, the tattva-darshis, they will be obliged to you to reveal to you appropriately knowledge. But it is a science how to learn what are the right questions. Frivolous inquiry is a waste of your time and his time. And I remember once asking Prabhupada a question. I felt so foolish afterwards. But he was talking in the lecture about one had to be very sincere in spiritual life. So I'm not sure whether I had a real question or whether I just wanted to be noticed. You know, "I'm here, Prabhupada." And I said, finally he noticed me. And I got up and I said, "Prabhupada, what if someone is not sincere? Then what do they do?" You know, it's a stupid thing to say. So he kind of laughed or chuckled in a kind of way, letting me know it was a stupid question. And then he said, "Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadat nagati kutopi." By the mercy of the spiritual master, you get everything, even if you're not sincere. But if you just apply yourself somehow or other, stay in the association of devotees, by hook or by crook, by any means, keep yourself in the fire, and do something, some kind of seva, then gradually you'll make progress by the mercy of the spiritual master. Because once you do anything, svalpam apyasya dharmasya, once you do su alpa, even a little, you're caught, you're finished, you're ruined, you're destroyed. Krishna won't let you go. If you're at all interested in society, friendship, and love, then don't go to the bank of the Ganges and look on that beautiful cowherd boy playing on his flute. Because you're ruined. Yasyaham anugranami harishye tad dhanam shanai. All your dhan, all your wealth is, if that's what has to be done, if you have so many attachments that you can't engage in devotional service, and very often it's a fact. Many of us come to devotional service with a lot of extra baggage, too much luggage, false ego, material attachments. And if we get too comfortable in devotional service, we think we can have both. Well, you can have both as long as you're totally prepared to lose everything material. But unfortunately, we're conditioned by our environment and many other things, determined, psychic determinism, genetic determinism, environmental determinism. So giving up material attachments, it's sort of like this. It's hard. Therefore, you have to chant. You have to become das anudas. You really have to work on becoming the servant of the servant of the servant. If you work, you have to consciously think about it. It's not going to happen automatically, spontaneously. Raganuga Bhakti comes after the perfection of sadhana. We will do well to become sadhakas, those who are trying to practice sadhana. And when you become expert at sadhana, then you await on Krishna's mercy that you develop a little bit of raga, get a little attachment. That's the beginning of bhakti yoga, is raga marga, and you can't do it artificially. Very dangerous. You could destroy your whole creeper. You could offend everyone under the sun. If you're not qualified, then it will come in time, either overtly or covertly, either externally or internally, Krishna will bring you along the path. Right now we've been shown the path, and that's important because all of us had various kinds of illusions before we came in the association of Srila Prabhupada, before we accepted Prabhupada as our primary guru, siksha guru, before we made that commitment. All of us were in different kinds of cultural illusions. And when he showed us the path, that was a great moment. But it's not enough. You have to get up on the path and practice it. Just knowing it, seeing it, just opening the door, you have to walk through the door. So you have to learn to understand what are the right questions. If you ask the wrong questions, then it'll lead you astray. If you're not, I mean, there are questions, and there have been devotees. A very nice devotee. Unfortunately, he didn't survive. And it's not surprising because he was a very handsome man and a very charismatic man. And it's fairly well known. He didn't like to wear copan. Anyway, he drowned. He was a very sweet singer, very hard worker, completely sold out to Srila Prabhupada. In his dialogues with Srila Prabhupada, he was very fond of asking very nice classical questions. Not, you know, psychological things and trivial things. A lot of our problems can be and will be worked out when we develop a higher level of Krishna consciousness. So the most important thing is to learn how we can fix our mind on Krishna. What does Krishna do? Who is Krishna? What is our sambandha? What is avideya? How can I be engaged? And then be engaged, prayojana. So what is Brahman and what is the self? There's no question of spiritual life. You can call yourself a Hindu, a Muslim, a Jew, an Arab, a this, or a Taoist, or a Taoist, or a Buddhist, or, you know, there's in America, I think there's a religion, every week a new religion comes into existence. It's a joke. Anyway. There was some ambiguity about who, actually Jesus Christ, although he was a great influential preacher, but they did not really have anything like Murari Gupta and his Kadachas. I mean, we have a lot of information about Lord Chaitanya firsthand because it was written down by Krishnadas Kaviraj, Murari Gupta, so many people. But Lord Jesus Christ, it took them 500 years to get together all the different experiences and opinions and sort through them of who Jesus Christ really was. And then it took them another 500 years to come up with the Bible and what he said. So a full century it took before they actually had a concrete Bible. And what Peter said, what John said, what Jesus said, and everything like that. So there's a lot of ambiguity, so scholars were researching, and there was evidence that Jesus Christ actually was Jewish. Because he went into his father's business. He thought that his mother was a virgin, and his mother thought that her son was God. There's evidence that he was Italian, because he spoke with his hands, he drank wine with every meal, and what else? Italian. He drank wine with every meal, he spoke with his hands. Something else. There was evidence that Jesus Christ was black because he was constantly persecuted. He couldn't get a fair deal in court, and he called every man brother. There's good evidence that Jesus Christ was a Californian. Because he let his hair grow long, he wore sandals everywhere, and he started a new religion. But there's overwhelming evidence that Jesus Christ was a woman. Because he had to feed a large group of people on a moment's notice when there was nothing available. He tried to get a message across to a group of men who just couldn't get it. And even when he was dead, he had to get up because there was more work to do. Anyway, you've got to ask about spiritual life. without coming to this conclusion that I am spirit, aham brahmasmi, you can give yourself any label you like. You can have a huge church, or you can just have a little, all over Brazil they have these little small church houses right in the backwoods, and every one of them's got a preacher. And they go there and they give their Sunday sermon, and the people come and they give their money, and who knows where their money goes and whatever. But if you're a spirit soul, then that's going to change your activities, the way you live. It's going to help you to practice transcendental austerity so that you can experience Brahma Sokyam, transcendental happiness, spiritual happiness. A lot of things are going to change in your life if you actually have a realization that you're not the body. And you have to ask about that. You have to satisfy Krishna's Madhusudan, he killer of the Madhu demon, and demons are compared to doubts. So you have to have your doubts destroyed. You have to come forward and ask him. You should not be shy about asking, because if those doubts linger on in your mind just because you're shy, then you're not going to act with full conviction. You'll be reserved on that level too. You've got to approach someone you have faith in and ask questions, get them answered. What are fruitive activities? It's a big thing. Pravritim cha nivritim cha jananavidurasura. The materialistic people, the demons, the asuras, they don't know the difference between pravritti and nivritti. What are fruitive activities? They'll do fruitive activities through the church. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nartho ratayopakalpate. Nartasya dharmaikantasya kamo labai hishmita. Jivasya tatta jigyasa. Material profit is not, material abilities profit is not meant to be used for your sense gratification. It should all go for the service of the Lord. Spiritual life, that's human life. Animal life is ahar nidra bhai maithun amcha dharmena hina pashu visamanaha. What is this material manifestation? Well, Isha Upanishad said one should know the material world and the spiritual world side by side. It's not that we're irrelevant in the world. We know what is happening here. We see it through the eyes of Shastra, Shastra Chaksus, but we also live in the world and we know how it works, and we analyze it and go over it again as much as it will help us to cut ourselves loose, cut ourselves free. We have to know what it is. You can't go into an operating theater and operate on something and, you know, you come out with his kidney instead of his heart, or, you know. You got to know what you're operating on, not just that you're good with a knife and you have a steady hand. You've got to know about the material world and how you can act in the material world, dori machi na chui pani, how to go fishing without getting wet, how to act in the world without getting contaminated. It is said that your aura extends 3 to 4 feet beyond your body. So if you're associating with materialistic people who are full of rajas and tama, you get close to them, they're going to influence you. In fact, when we went to see the scholars in Udupi, they were very appreciative of and surprised that Srila Prabhupada could go to the West and preach amongst the Malechas and not get contaminated. Because they were, you know, convinced that if you associate with the Yavanas and Malechas, that you'll get polluted. Therefore, sannyasis were forbidden to cross the ocean. So we should know these things and be careful about when in the association of non-devotees to give Krishna, to be a source of inspiration and a source of knowledge and liberation and compassion to them. Not that we get affected by them. A doctor who knows about germs and etc., he can go into a leper colony and work with lepers and not get affected. He knows how to protect himself. We have to know what is the material world. We have to know about the demigods. I think probably one of the best and most popular videos produced by ITV is gods, demigods, and incarnations. Right? It's a video by Tamal Krishna done in Fiji in a big auditorium. You had all these people, you know, I think Sai Baba's God, I think Shiva's God. Goswami Maharaj went through each and every one of them and showed how, no, they're great, but they're not Purushottama. They're not Bhokta, they're not Parameshwar. So these questions are good. Krishna's going to answer them for Arjuna. And we should also, if we're preachers, there's a difference between people who are taking advantage of their human form of life and casually going through Krishna consciousness. And they'll benefit eventually. But we're on the fast track. We can be, let's say we can be on the fast track, the fast path, the path train. We can be on the path train, right? We can be on the path train if we act that way. But we, especially preaching, Lord Chaitanya's movement, he's preaching. I was very happy to hear about your book distribution activities. You know, a preacher has to, give his preachings, whatever it is, and be detached. So there are certain things, and I'm going to share one thing with you. I probably said it before. Please excuse. But we should never, at least I was taught, and there may be, maybe there was time, place, and circumstance, but we were taught that never have your back to the deities and never have your back to the spiritual master. So we would actually sit sideways in the temple. I know it's a little hard here. You want to face me and hear the speaker, but still, somehow or other. And then another thing is, you're giving ear darshan. Right? This is ear darshan. You're hearing Krishna katha, hopefully. I hope I'm up to it. But we stopped the ear darshan for eye darshan. Prabhupada said, this is enough. When you're having kirtan, you know, it's ecstatic kirtan, everybody's, the deity doors close, the kirtan stops, and everybody falls down on the floor. Okay, it's a nice sentiment, but in the middle of an ecstatic kirtan, you're so controlled in your kirtan. No, you continue. When Prabhupada would come, we would continue the kirtan if we were having a kirtan for him. Maybe some representatives would bow down or something, but it's not necessary. Prabhupada did say, and I heard it from a few devotees in Vrindavan, that this is enough. And it makes sense. Bhakti Siddhanta was doing a tour of Vrindavan. He was giving lectures every evening. It was announced one morning there were a group of congregation would come. He was doing parikrama, Brajamandal parikrama. And he was in Vrindavan, and so a bunch of the sannyasis were going to take a group of people to the temples for evening arti. And at the same time, Bhakti Siddhanta would be speaking on Hari Katha. So after they got back from the temples, Bhakti Siddhanta said, so, did you enjoy your eye darshan? In other words, they had a chance to hear from, you know, what's the purpose, what do we go to a holy place for? To bathe in the river? No. We go there to associate with the saintly persons, to hear, to have our lives changed. So it makes sense that, you know, You can inquire from others and see what they, whether there's concurrence, but it's my understanding that this is enough. Because the speaker's speaking, then everything stopped, he loses his train of thought, the communication is broken, and to start it again is more difficult. So those who worship anything else, anybody else than Krishna, are wasting their time. And somehow or other, it's our duty to understand how this is so and how we can explain it to others, because it's why Krishna, why only Krishna? Even we have a temple in just outside of Los Angeles, which was organized by the congregation there. What's the name of it? It's not far from Los Angeles.
Diamond.
Huh?
Diamond Bar.
I didn't.
Is that Diamond Bar, California? It's just Los Angeles, but Diamond Bar.
Diamond Bar? No, I don't think so. Placentia. Yeah. So, you know, you go in there and there's every demigod under the sun in the temple room, practically, not exactly equal, but a lot of people come there and they don't go directly to Radha and Krishna. They go to the demigods and do their puja. And it's giving a wrong message, basically. The devotees there, they compromise, and now I know the Gujarati devotees who wanted to involve the Punjabi community, and the Punjabis wanted to bring their demigods, and they were going to bring money, and so the devotees said, oh yeah, we need money, and so they compromised. Now they're really sorry they did, because there's constant friction, because the devotees who want to preach Prabhupada's philosophy are having a problem. So demigods we can keep, and we should have a temple outside for all the demigods, no problem. And maybe in the foyer, there's a place in Jagannath Puri, the demigods are there outside the temple, but not with Jagannath. So these things we have to understand for our preaching. I'll stop there. Are there any questions or comments? Okay, thank you very much.
I have a question that you know discussed. In Srimad Bhagavatam, today I was reading, when Kunti was praying, she told him it is easily available, that you can be easily available only by materially exhausted.
Yeah.
Akinchana Goparam.
Gochara. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, well, it starts out that if one is still interested in good birth, in material opulence, in education, then he probably won't be very sincere about calling on the Lord, and you are purchased. Akinchana means one who has no material desires, and gochara means someone who can purchase or. So you're purchased by someone who's materially exhausted. But for living in the world, well, A, we are in the process of purifying our lives. Chaturvidha Vajante Mahajana Sukritinoa. We all have material desires. I have material desires. And I've been working at this quite sincerely, I've kept my vows. I've not missed a whole lot of beats for the last 33 years. I gave a lot, my youth, my opportunities for education, etc. Some kind of a sacrifice. But even I have desires which Krishna is fulfilling. But in a spiritual way, like I would have been a Jewish comedian if I hadn't have been a, you know, devotee. But now I'm doing seminars where I can fulfill that desire. I remember Giriraj Swami, my dear friend and Siksha Guru. His father offered him $1 million. His father was a director on American Steel Corporation, which at that time was very big when there was a steel market in America. It was one of the biggest corporations in the world. Plus he was a district judge. Plus Girish was his only son, and he was worth a lot of money. When he died, they discovered accounts all over the place. So he offered Girish $1 million right in front of Prabhupada. He said, I'll write a check right now. You leave Hare Krishna. Girish Swami, being the son of a lawyer and being brilliant, said to his father, he said, Father, you have so much money and you're not happy. But you expect me to believe that if I take your money, I'll become happy. So he rejected. And even to this day, he could get a lot of money in his father's will that was left. He just has to give up Hare Krishna. But he's a man of principle. He won't do it. Okay, his mother and his sister are taking decent care of him, but still. He got that money in the form of Bombay Temple. He was the first president for many years, and it was a multi-million-dollar temple, and you know, he was a wonderful leader there until he had to leave the country because of visa problem, and then he got sick and whatever. But he got it one way or the other, so whether you have no material desires, akama, or sarvakamova, or moksha-kama. You want to be, siddha-purush, liberated, whatever. Nirvikalpa-samadhi. You come to Krishna, and he'll fulfill your desires in an appropriate way. You don't need to worry. He really is yoga-kshema. He takes care of his devotees. I'm very convinced, and even I would venture to say realized in that. He's taken really merciful care of me, and I had no reason to expect it. So just surrender to Krishna, and he'll fulfill your desires. And you'll never know unless you surrender. Because yayata mam prapadyante, really a question of priorities in your life. Yes?
Like you said, Krishna fulfills all desires, but it seems like sometimes he doesn't fulfill all desires. Maybe it's because...
Shall we say he doesn't fulfill desires in the way that you want him to, but he may fulfill it in a way that ultimately satisfies you. We are not really that acutely aware of what we really want. But he knows better than we do. Now, I cut you off, and I'm sorry for that, but if you want to correct me, if you want to say more, no, that's okay?
That's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. I have psychic powers. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ji Ki Jai.